Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here today to discuss one
singular sensation.
I was like, how can I say
every
it to really set her up?
You take.
How do you feel about the recent news that Ryan Murphy is doing a 10-part series on A Chorus Line? Before we get to less important stuff.
Will there be Donna McKechnie? Also, I was actually talking about this with my roommate last night. I'm assuming each episode is going to be a backstory of a different member of the line, right?
Well, if it's 10 parts, there are 16 people on the line, so it wouldn't exactly work out.
Okay, well, but is there's not enough songs. Are they writing more songs?
Yeah, I'm curious
about
that.
You know, like, how is
it gonna...
Because
I've always said, like, I need someone to make... Like, I don't hate the movie that was made of it, even mm-hmm. though they take out a really important song and add in a stupid song.
Did they take out? What did they add
in? They took out, like, almost the entirety of Hello 12, Hello 13, okay. Hello Love, and replaced it with this song called Surprise, about the one dude, like, having sex for the first time. Anyways, we've really strayed from topic, but I have a lot of feelings about this. All right, we'll talk more on that personally. So, one originally debuted September 14th, 2003. This is David Frankel's last episode with us, written by MPK. The DVD recap is as follows. Carrie and Charlotte make a visit to a gallery where a performance artist has placed herself on display without any food or water. Charlotte and Harry finally realize their dream by conceiving, but unfortunately, Charlotte miscarries less than a month into the pregnancy. Robert surprises Miranda by giving her a giant cookie with the words "I love you" written out in chocolate chips on it. Samantha notices a gray hair down there after a shower. Okay.
All right.
Kind of point by point.
So the opening line I thought they kind of missed the mark with when Carrie says,
"When Charlotte and I heard that there was a woman in Chelsea not talking or eating, thank you. We were there in a New York minute."
She makes a point of saying that she's not dressed to hustle. I'm kind of like, when are you ever dressed to hustle?
Right.
I mean, it's just about like, she finds out there's a gallery. There's something happening with
and
a woman.
She's gonna be
there. She's gonna be there. And it is a weird opening line.
So they say in that DVD description, no food or water. I thought it was just no food or talking, because I thought you can see that there's water there.
Yeah, I think that there is water there.
Because she wouldn't survive.
Correct.
Without water.
Also, where does she pee?
I'm sure they let her pee.
Okay.
It doesn't say she can't leave.
Yeah.
And there have been exhibits similar to this where it was that woman that you could just stare at her,
right? Or there was the thing where like you could go in and do whatever you wanted to Shia LaBeouf,
yeah.
Which didn't go well.
Really?
No, he was like assaulted.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we do see that we're at the Sean Kelly Gallery on 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a woman not talking or eating. Her name, this actress's name is Beth Lapidus. Mm-hmm. I think I'm saying that correctly. She has a podcast called Life and Beth.
Oh.
She was also a part of the Uncabaret that had there were some of those were aired on, I think Amazon aired some of it.
Okay.
Anyway, she is a performance artist.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, well cast. She's at the top of knife ladders. Those kind of freak me out a little bit.
Yeah. Are those a thing?
I don't know. She's doing it for 16 days. And I did write, I find this to be super dumb. This just isn't my kind of thing. Like, I don't really get it. And the whole thing of like, if she can change her energy, maybe she'll change the energy in the room, which will change the energy of the world. Lofty.
Yeah, a knife ladder, a thing,
yeah,
though?
I don't know. Those knife ladders are weird.
Yeah, I don't
think it's
want
a symbolism.
Right,
I think it's so that she can't leave.
Right, of course. And Carrie is very kind of flippant about the whole thing.
Good for her. So besties for lunch?
Yeah, she's not into it. I wouldn't be into it either. She makes a joke about the woman's hair, and then a woman without hair does not find it funny.
And then there's a man over there staring at me.
Oh. Not there.
Did you know who this was?
I did because I saw in the opening credits that he was a guest star.
Yeah. Mikhail Baryshnikov, obviously, like, most famous for being one of, if not the greatest ballet dancer of all
right.
time. Yeah, we also discover that Charlotte's old gallery was on Spring Street.
Yeah, I saw
that. Which is an interesting time to reveal that.
Can you tell Cersei that Charlotte from his gallery at Spring Street sends her best? So I thought, oh, is Charlotte working again? Like, I thought maybe now she's working.
No, I think she's just referring to, like, formerly of Spring Street. But it was interesting. It was an interesting moment where I'm like, interesting way to give us some revelations about things that happened, like, three seasons ago.
Okay, that's him again. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the man is back. He's an artist. Alexander. I want to say his name right so he doesn't criticize me later.
Alexander. Oh, yeah. Alexander Petrovsky. And yeah. Charlotte loves him.
Yeah, in a crazy coincidence, he was Charlotte's first important sale back when she was just starting out as a working at a gallery.
I mean, I don't know if that's like a crazy coincidence.
It seems like a bit much to me. Oh. But
and Carrie's kind of acting immature. Because yes, you can tell that Alexander I'm just gonna say it till I'm corrected. That Alexander is Alexander is amused by Carrie's behavior, but she is really feeding into it.
There are depressed women all over New York doing the exact same thing as her and not calling it art. I mean, if you put a phone up on that platform, it's just a typical Friday night waiting for some guy to call.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when to share my full opinions about all of this, but
I just thought it was strange. It was like, Carrie, there's a 6-block rule here in New York City. Isn't that it? Like, you talk about something like 6 blocks away from where you are. Yeah. At least with theater, because you never know
who's right there.
And still, like, I'm very cautious to not talk about anything anywhere, because you never know who is anywhere, who is on the subway, who is...
Yeah, Charlotte starts to gush, and he kind of hushes her, I guess, just so that, you know, he doesn't want to be made a fuss of in the art world. Yeah, he asks Carrie what she thought, and she's just not that arty, and she kind of brings up that women all over New York are doing the same thing. I don't know. The thing is, I would kind of be in Carrie's boat in this. And once again, I get that you're not supposed to say it in the gallery, right. But he's asking in the gallery. So.
Right, but I think in the gallery I would have said, you know, I'm not really arty, but I can understand, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just wouldn't. Be polite, Carrie. But he finishes with, you are a comic? Yeah.
And Charlotte does refer to herself by her married name.
And I'm Charlotte York. I mean, Goldenblatt.
So just there's that as well.
And I think he likes Carrie in this moment.
Yeah, I think so too. There's definitely something going on.
We just met Alexander Petrovsky.
You are a comic?
Robert arrives at Miranda's with pizza.
Hot pizza.
And an extra little pizza box on top.
What's with the little pizza box?
Ah, one is a pizza. Uh-huh. The other is a surprise for you after the pizza.
And then he gets a page? A text? I'm not sure what the contraption is that he's getting this message on.
Probably a pager. Doctors had pagers.
But he gets the information through this page.
One of my guys busted his knee. To the hospital.
But that could, I mean, there are also different kinds of pagers. Like some pagers you could
get like,
send
messages?
A text message on. Oh, so that, okay. That could be what it is. Yeah, a player
or maybe
is
he
hurt.
Got a text message.
Yeah,
could
I just couldn't tell
could
what
you
the contraption
text at this
was.
Time?
I actually don't know. Yeah. I don't feel like you could, but like I feel like pagers actually had that technology before phones sometimes did.
Right.
But like on some pagers you could get like a short message.
Maybe a BlackBerry thing.
Yeah, something like that. So he has to go. She,
and
of course
she looks like, yeah.
She opens the little pizza box right away.
And it's an I love you cookie, which I want an I love you cookie. I just want that big cookie.
I wrote, I'm not sure either of us would have reacted any differently, but just not for the same reason. She eats that whole cookie.
Yeah.
That cookie's gone.
Yeah. Why would you have not reacted that way?
I'm saying I might have reacted this way, but not because I was afraid of the I love you. I just want to eat the whole cookie.
Yeah, yeah. And I just love that that's her response. I mean, we've learned this about Miranda. Like, yeah. She can't have sweets in the house.
Right. And But I also put, like, the next day she tells Carrie, and I guess she kind of put it in the freezer. Like, I feel like that was, like, Miranda's.
Oh, yeah. She says, last night Robert said I love you on a cookie. I panicked and ate the whole thing. Because... if it wasn't there, I wouldn't have to deal with it. And I wrote in my notes, if it wasn't there, I wouldn't have to deal with it. The Mike Jensen story. Mike and I have this running joke. I don't think we've shared it with the audience, but we keep referring to it. That he at one point said to me, I'm just going to put it in the freezer and forget about it. And I just responded with the Mike Jensen story. So whenever there's something we don't want to deal with in life,
I'm just going to put it in the freezer.
Just going to put that
it's
in the
fine.
Freezer.
And just kind of like, it can't be Robert because he's perfect.
Right.
Robert is great. Right?
Well, I didn't want to be the one to have to tell you this about him, but he's perfect. I'm sorry if your best friend can't tell you. Who will?
He is perfect.
And, you know, we know why he's not perfect. It's because he's not Steve. We know this.
Yeah, but Miranda doesn't know that quite yet.
No, she does. She's already said it before. She's just choosing to leave it in the freezer.
So Brady's about to be 1 year old.
Mm-hmm. And he's having a party. Carrie's not coming if there's a clown.
Yeah, make sure there's no clown.
Nothing is scarier than a clown. Tell that to your table, Carrie. With a huge clown.
It is
kind
of funny. Why does she have a clown on that table? Maybe that's why she's afraid of clowns, because that clown. Yeah. Maybe she keeps throwing that clown away and it keeps coming back. So we cut to the ladies at lunch, and Samantha needs glasses.
And yes, I need glasses, and I'm not ashamed. I have a sexy young man who wants to fuck me, and I'm fabulous.
Have you considered putting that on a t-shirt?
Yeah, good for you, Samantha. Mm-hmm. And Samantha knows who Petrovsky is.
Yeah.
He was the number one hot guy at Studio 54. Dated every top supermodel in the 70s.
And I wrote, Samantha wants more details, and that waitress is never coming back.
How did he look? Is he still gorgeous? We need more time.
Right. She's like, all right, these people suck. They can flag me down.
Yeah, we do some. I do like the age math. I do like where it's like, okay, you were this old. And Samantha just comes out and is like, I'm 45.
Well, she actually says, I'm 40 fucking five. I have nothing to hide.
Which I like. I feel like that's different for Samantha.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't that long ago that she was like, I don't state my age.
See, Samantha and I are both coming out of our shells and talking about things that are uncomfortable.
Good for both of you.
Thank you.
Charlotte arrives and she's very happy.
She is pregnant.
She's pregnant.
And Miranda kind of says, like, how far along are you? Like, she kind of slips that in.
Yeah. Because she's 3 weeks along, which is very, very, very early. Yeah. It doesn't make what's going to happen any less tragic. I don't want to paint it that way at all. But I remember even the first time watching this being like, oh, man, that's really, really early. And then Samantha scratches her crotch.
Yeah, excuse me. I have to itch my crotch.
What was that?
Because Smith likes a full bush.
Mm-hmm. And it's growing out. So, and we know Samantha has a lot of storylines about her pubic hair.
I guess that is true.
Remember Thor?
Yeah.
And then there was another...
The guy who said that it was, you know,
like
getting
unruly.
A little...
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's been a lot, you know. A lot
going on down there with her. So Carrie gets a call and thinks it's a wrong number.
Yeah.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Wrong number. Sorry.
But the interesting thing about all of this is that... She doesn't ever let the person say who they're even calling for or who they are.
I will say he doesn't get to it quickly. I feel like if she picked up and he was like, it's Alexander.
I know, but in 2003, if you don't have caller ID and you don't have like email or text or anything, so people's main way of contacting you is, or I guess you had email, but people's main way of contacting you is calling you. He's just saying, hello. Like,
no, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number.
Yeah, like, let him.
And she does it a few times.
This could have been like, this is like... someone from Vogue calling to give you a job. She just keeps hanging up on him.
I'm sorry. I cannot understand you.
Yeah. And I wrote, who keeps saying wrong number? Does she just do that to anyone with an accent?
Yeah. I don't know that Carrie is super racist in this episode.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. He finally gets to who he is. And I do like her whole like, oh.
Carrie.
This reminds me of a roommate I had. This was before Seamless, when you would have to call and do the ordering.
Yeah, I love this.
And she was apparently ready to like have a food binge and didn't know that I was home. So I just heard her saying, blueberry pancakes, mozzarella sticks. Hold on one second. What did you want? Taquitos? And the taquitos.
Yeah.
And I just heard all of it. And I was like so happy for her. Because, you know, like that's a great.
Yeah. You guys, the food's here. They're in the other room. They'll come out in a minute.
Yeah, just put all the pizzas over here.
Yeah, that was my sister. She's visiting. And he went down quite a path to get her number.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you don't mind me calling you. I've got this number from the friend of yours who knows the girl who works at the gallery at Cersei. I hope it's okay.
Okay.
Are you still laughing at that artist?
Excuse me?
Saying that she eats all night Big Macs.
Well, I'm sticking to my guns.
I thought you would. So let's go see her at 3 a.m.
He invites her to the Russian Samovar at 1 a.m.
1 a.m., a mysterious place. I'm not going to get sold into white slavery, am I?
I don't know what this means.
Yeah, so the Russian Samovar, I did research on it. Did you?
I did.
Okay.
It's funny how I always, because I had not ever done research on it before, I always assumed it was the Russian tea house.
No.
Or the Russian tea room. So it was funny this time looking at it being like, oh, I know where that is. That's right next to Mean Girls.
You can't sit with us.
And it is in fact open until 2 a.m.
Yeah,
so you could have dinner there at 1 a.m.
And Baryshnikov is a business partner.
Oh, does he say that?
I went to their website.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't go. Yeah. I didn't go quite that deep into it.
Yeah. So,
did you know that he has a child with Jessica Lange?
No.
Yeah, they have a child together, and her name is Alexandra. Anyway.
Yeah, so he's a business partner in the Russian Samovar.
Oh, that's interesting.
They actually have...
Mikhail Baryshnikov is.
Yes.
Gotcha.
They have his baby grand piano at the restaurant, and there's always, like, a piano player playing, and there is... On the website, it says that, like, you can also dine in our upstairs lounge where Sex and the City was filmed.
Yeah, so the phone rings again... But this time it's Harry.
Yeah.
And Charlotte lost the baby.
Yeah.
She's just been sort of sitting and staring since this morning. She didn't want me to call anybody, but I thought...
No, you did the right thing.
Even his thing of, like, she said not to call anyone, but of course I called you. And that's, you know, that was the right thing to do. And, you know, it's sort of covered up. The good thing, the good news is that she got pregnant. Yeah. Like, that was not supposed to be able to happen. And I honestly wrote, there's kind of nothing to say about this. Like, I kind of...
But I feel like Carrie is... the perfect friend in this moment. She just comes in, she sits down, and in these moments, like, when there isn't anything you can say, you just kind of are there for
them.
Just
present.
And Charlotte says, you know, I can't go to Brady's party.
Which is, of course, I totally could start bawling right now. But of course, that's understandable.
Napkins, cups, party favors.
Done, done, done. And on Saturday, all Steve has to do is bring the cake.
Yeah, Robert is at Miranda's planning, and he finally asks about the cookie. And I do want to be like, if this is 5 days later, how many awkward conversations have you had?
Yeah, because were you ever going to mention the cookie? Yeah, I was.
I was if
you
just give me a minute.
It's like it was five days ago.
Oh, I was.
What about what it said? It was sweet.
And I wrote, I think you don't ask about this. I think if you're Robert, you're like, I'm just not going to bring this up.
Or you bring it up, and you're just. You talk about it.
Or you're like, you don't have to say it back. Like, for the record, I love you and I wanted you to know that.
But Robert put it in the freezer.
Robert put it in the freezer. I don't know. Now, it's just awkward. And she says it was sweet.
Yes. And she calls Carrie.
Well, because she's watching Jules and Mimi and there's a lot of I love you happening
on this. I love you. I love you.
I love you, Jules. I love you.
Yeah. And she can't say I love you. And she keeps saying, I am so fucked up.
Yeah, because she can't say it, and she's never going to be happy.
I can't say I love you. I just can't. It's not in my DNA. And everywhere I look, it is just flying out of people's mouths.
Whose mouths is it flying out of?
Everyone.
Jules and Mimi?
They're fictional, but they say it.
And how can I love him if I can't even say the words? And I wrote, this scene hurts me a little bit.
Yeah, you love him. You don't love him because you love Steve.
Yeah, your heart is somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I always thought...
that when the right guy came along, all of my bullshit would calm down and go away, and the words would just fall out of my mouth because I would know he was the one.
So Carrie is typing and blaming Valentine's Day.
Hundreds upon hundreds of cards, all decreeing you're the one.
And she couldn't help but wonder,
when will waiting for the one be done?
I don't believe in the one.
But I think she's referencing, like, anything. Like,
right.
We're always waiting for that thing that's going to fix us and make everything better.
And I suppose in that respect, it's done when we recognize that we're never going to be
there will
done.
Never be anything outside that will fix you.
Yeah, there's ever. Never going to be a thing out in the world, like externally, where you're like, oh, that will make everything better. That,
right.
It's just never going
to
happen.
Like, you're not going to move to that place and everything's going to come
you're
together.
You're not going to meet that person and everything's going to be better.
You're not going to get that job.
That's never going to be what fixes
you. Nothing's ever going to be good in life.
No. But nothing is ever going to be good in life until you recognize that you have to make it good. Like, you have to... like, you internally have to change these things. Also, on this subject...
Wherever you go, there you are.
Wherever you go, there you are. On this subject from a different perspective, there's an Alanis Morissette song called Incomplete. Mm-hmm. And one of the lines in it is like, I've been missing the rapture this whole time of being forever incomplete. The idea of, like, who wants to be complete? Like, if you're complete, you're done. Like, I don't ever want to know it all.
No.
Like, if I ever was like, I know everything, well, that's not fun. I want to learn new things. I always want to be learning new things and growing. Like, I want to be incomplete because that means that there are still things that I'm discovering. There are still new experiences that I'm going to have. I think that the whole idea of, like, well, I'm done, like, that's no fun.
No, it's not. And I think what they're saying here is there's a way to be incomplete without feeling empty.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people are looking for that thing to, like, fill the hole.
In whatever way you want to say it.
Right. And I think that sometimes you can just fill the hole yourself. God, this didn't...
They make tools for that.
My analogy didn't work out.
It really fell apart in the end there.
But you get what I'm saying.
I do. Yeah, so Samantha's out of the shower and finds the one.
Finds the gray pew.
A gray one. And she almost tweezers, but instead, yeah.
Decides to give herself a red merkin. And I love this montage of, like, the merkin going right into the clown.
It's so good. First of all, like, her scream makes me laugh so much.
Also, that grew out very quickly.
It did grow out quickly. Yeah, the cut for that cut is pretty amazing. And it's a clown.
Mm-hmm.
And Ma got the clown.
And
I love, like, the kids will love it.
Brady's the only kid.
Well, I paid him. He can open the door or something.
And Ma's got her Budweisers. Yeah. You don't mind I brought my own beer, do yeah. you?
Hi, Ma.
Debbie. There's my Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie calls her Ma.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Debbie and Ma love each other.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think Debbie and Ma... I think, like, Debbie's from Queens.
Yeah,
I think
that Ma's not intimidated by Debbie at all.
No, yeah.
With Miranda's highfalutin ways. Yeah,
yeah, Harry shows up.
How is she?
The same. Just stares at the TV. She said she wasn't strong enough to come.
No one's mad. Like, of course.
Yeah, everyone's just, like...
And we cut to Charlotte watching an E! True Hollywood Story.
On Elizabeth Taylor. Now, does this have anything to do with The Ring, I wonder?
Well, it was sort of revisiting. I mean, it is mentioned. This is a commentary episode.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot that I felt like I needed to bring up, but it is sort of mentioned this was bringing it back to Elizabeth Taylor.
Right,
because she
ring.
Had been the inspiration for Charlotte to convert. And remember when E! True Hollywood Stories were a huge thing?
Yeah.
Like, it was that and
VH1
behind
the
music. Yes, they were so good. So the clown lets Carrie in and mm-hmm. then is creepy.
Yeah, but Carrie's not over. I thought she was going to scream. I was waiting for this. As
no,
someone who gets
it-
easily startled, which I don't know, that's a new thing for me, but I get pretty easily startled.
Yeah, not much. It doesn't take much for Elise to yelp.
Not I don't go online and give 1-star reviews.
Like an idiot.
Yeah, I just...
scream when you drop your chicken on the floor.
There you are. I was told there'd be no clowns. Nothing scarier.
Samantha pulls her into the bathroom.
I found a gray hair.
And a food.
No man wants to F grandma's.
I wrote one of the best awful lines ever.
Yeah.
And I love Carrie's reaction of like,
this is a child's birthday party.
And you know, I mean, this is very funny. I do find it a little bit with Samantha being like, this can never get old. It's putting a lot of value on one part of your body.
Right, but I think she's, like, prided herself on the fact that she is a very good lay.
Yeah.
And that she, you know, is always going to be young in the sack.
And then, you know, I'm not telling you the whole story.
5, 4,
Carrie, I don't think you get the magnitude of this.
2, 1.
I'm Bozo the Bush.
Oh, they give her some gems in this. And I guess one thing that they do kind of point out is that Kim Cattrall was a little bit concerned about this storyline. Like, felt it was a little bit over the top. And it absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I do want to give Kim Cattrall, like, props. Because she makes this work.
She's done
like,
this
she
the
makes,
whole series.
Absolutely. They give her thing after thing of kind of ridiculousness, and she always manages to make it work. So, props to Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. And we're back to Charlotte watching E.
Elizabeth Taylor's story is an epic and an inspiration.
Now is the time for guts and guile.
And she gets up and she puts on that dress.
Yeah, and I wrote that she looks more like Jackie O to me.
Yeah.
But either way, she's inspired.
She looks gorgeous, yeah.
She looks beautiful. And we're back at the party, and Debbie is being very nice.
Yeah, she's glad everything worked out, because I love Steve.
You and Robert mean Steve, because I really love him.
Back off, Debbie.
And Robert is there with balloons.
There's my girl. I got my pipes all warmed up to sing. Where's that cake?
I'll get it.
I wrote, and something is happening. Like, you can see this, like, build up.
You okay?
Miranda's looking very overwhelmed.
Could be. Who knows?
And she goes to hide in the laundry room.
To get the cake.
And Steve shows up with candles.
Look at that. Huh?
And then I wrote, Elise's dreams come true.
I love you. I love you, Steve.
I'm sorry. I should never have said that. It's just that I love you, and I fucked everything up, and now it's too late. I'm sorry I'm doing this. I'm sorry. Please don't look at me.
Finally! No one comments that she has lipstick all over her teeth.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I mean, she does just look a little disheveled.
Right.
Because, you know, he loves her too.
Yeah.
And Miranda, you're the one. And and Magda comes in and knows everything.
Yeah. Hello, where is cake? And I love that, like, look on her eyes. It's like Mrs. Potts, you know, just discovering the Beast and Belle. There is something there that wasn't there before.
Yeah, she knows what's up. It's mm-hmm. cake time. Mm-hmm. I do like Samantha's reaction.
Will you look at the candle Steve bought?
Yeah, I mean, Samantha reacts to the clown's hair, which I enjoy. And then Charlotte arrives.
Make a wish, Brady.
And then, yeah, 3 weeks later, they're back. They're going to be back together.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. Yeah, it is kind of a weird moment where I'm like, why not 3 hours later?
Right.
Like, I'd like to know what that process was.
Right.
Because now we're back in the present.
Well, I'm assuming the next episode is going to be maybe 3 weeks later.
We'll see. What if it's 3 years later? A real flash forward.
Yeah.
So Carrie arrives to meet Alexander.
Hi. I'm here to meet Alexander Petrovsky.
And I'm guessing he knows someone.
I think he knows. Well, he's an owner.
Well, now we're blurring our lines a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he probably knows everyone.
Probably.
She has this private area.
Right. So she has they have the upstairs to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She does not wear a watch.
You know you're late. It's 1:03.
Which is fine. Calm down, Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And he has quite the spread.
They're having meat jello.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I've ever had that before. I did go to the Russian baths once with a friend of mine who is of Russian descent.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did all the ordering. And we had, you know, lots of things that I never thought that I would eat. But it was mostly delicious. I even had tongue, which is the thing that I swore I would never eat.
You can also, Mike, this may inspire you to make us a reservation. They do a vodka flight here, where it's pretty much just 6 different shots of their infused vodkas, which are apparently amazing.
I'm already there.
Yeah.
Do you always eat this late at night?
I usually work all night. For me, it's not late.
And she can't really say his name.
Yeah, so he just says, call me Bob.
Yeah. And he's having, like, that, you know, what are you having? Oh, you're having water? Well, then I'll have a vodka martini.
That's Mike and I every time we go out to eat.
I almost never actually have a vodka martini, but it's similar. Yeah, she reveals that she has spies.
You're not going to be mad that she doesn't do any of the martini questions?
No, I mean, at this point.
All right.
She at least says it's vodka.
Yeah.
That's like more information than we almost ever give.
My spies told me you were quite the regular at Studio 54. That must have been an amazing time.
But yeah, she knows that he used to go to Studio 54, and why didn't you tell me about that? And I wrote, he's not really interested in the past?
What is there to remember? Martha Graham's face, Andy Warhol's wig, that's about it.
He's a weirdo.
Yeah, he's weird, and I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I don't find any of this charming.
No, me neither.
Like, I don't find him charming. I think Mikhail Baryshnikov himself is very handsome.
But this character was weird.
Just not into it. Just not into it, but it is what it is. Samantha, we kind of cut away from this for a minute, just for Samantha to arrive home and for Smith to, you know, notice that she's shaved.
Where did it all go?
Cool.
And then there's something that I should tell you.
There is one moment in every relationship where you risk letting someone know the real you.
And it's just, I'm a working woman. I don't have time for you to find it.
Right.
This was not that moment.
I'm like, well, you gave him a lot of instructions the other day.
Yeah.
So you had a
you
little bit of time.
You pretty much were like a GPS. Please.
At the next fold...
Please insert right finger.
Yeah. And then we get to, like, how long have you been in New York?
Long time. I like New York. It's honest. There's no big smile on its face. It's dark, painful. I like it.
Okay, you are way too Russian. You get a girl out of bed to tell her you like pain?
The tea arrives.
Fruit and tea. She's not a fruit person. Keep this banana for later for breakfast.
And then I don't know if he tells her to put the banana in her purse just so he can then make a banana joke.
Right.
There is banana in your purse, or you're just very happy to see me.
But she did say, tell me a joke,
yeah,
Bob. So
at 3:01, they arrive at the gallery, and she's forgotten her purse, but I think this is mostly so we can see Mikhail in action.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I said, oh, he does a leap.
Yeah. And we're in the gallery, and there she is. Of all my odd dates, this was 1. That's a weird sentence structure just to get us to, like, say the word one again. But, okay, it is what it is. And I guess the cab driver is also Russian? Because they have a little exchange.
Yeah, and this part I was weirded out by. So he pays the guy for a proper good night. So he pays the cab to, like,
go down the street a little bit.
But also just say, never mind, and get another cab.
Maybe he wants to make sure there's a cab there for her in a minute.
Yeah, she doesn't want to go home with him.
Yeah, it's a weird thing of, like, he says he lives nearby, and I thought you lived way downtown.
I live right near here.
I thought you lived way downtown.
That is near.
It's a weird exchange.
I wrote, I don't think she wanted to kiss him.
Yeah, because it seems like he's trying to get her to go home with him, and she's, you know, not tonight. But then they kiss in the street.
And she seems into it.
He tastes like black cherries. It's weird. Yeah. It's a very odd scene. And, okay. And, you know, we're setting up this relationship, and they're trying real hard to get us to be into it. And I guess what I will say to that is I don't want to just, like, poo on the storyline, but reach out to us, people in the world. How did you feel about this? I mean, I would like to know other people's opinion about this relationship setup and clearly where we're headed for at least a little bit. I won't say too much, but it was just never, I was never into it. And it's interesting that it seems like you felt the same way.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason that I know that he's coming back is because when I went to IMDb to look up something else, it had like multiple episodes listed. And I tried to be like, oh no, don't look. So I know he's coming back, which that shocked me because I thought for sure she was going to be like in the next episode. I kissed Alexander and I didn't even like him, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, I'm going to save as many opinions as I can about the end for the end, but it's just a weird setup. And I once again, let us know what you think. I would like to hear some other opinions. So I guess I couldn't help but wonder why she kissed him or what she sees in him or what the charm is. And once again, that's nothing against Mikhail Baryshnikov. I think he's a very handsome guy. I'm sure he's very charming in real life. He's incredibly talented. I just kind of couldn't help but wonder what this was all about.
I couldn't help but wonder how long did Samantha leave that hair dye on for?
I guess I also couldn't help but wonder how you know that the hair not on your head is going to react differently than the hair on your head.
Well, also, like, just pluck it. Don't dye the whole thing. And if you're going platinum blonde, you have to use a toner or something. Yeah. Like, maybe she should have just done a few highlights.
Yeah, something.
Or
like
a balayage. An ombre.
An ombre. This is my ombre bush.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to call that the finale of season 6.
Okay.
And then we're going to be... So there'll be our recap should be already in your feed.
In your box.
In your box. And then we're going to be off for 1 week.
Welcome to our box.
There was a little wink. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks. And we'll start what I call season 7. And I'll fully explain why I call it season 7.
And then we will be done forever.
And then we'll see what happens. Wow, we're really coming to the end of it, though.
Yeah.
8 episodes.
Mike, did you ever think that we would finish this?
I did. And I knew that it would be about a 2-year project. But of course, 2 years ago, that felt like ages.
Right.
And it is kind of bizarre we've been doing this for almost 2 years now.
And we haven't even gotten mad at each other.
And as soon as this is done, we will never speak to each other again.
We will lock ourselves in a gallery in Chelsea with no food, and we will just stare at each other. It'll be an art installation.
Okay. Sounds good. Actually, that sounds terrible. I don't get that kind of art at all, but you do, art people. All right. So we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye. You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. The recap of season 6 should already be in your feed, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with the first of the last 8 episodes of the TV series. Miranda arrives at Miranda. Robert arrives at Miranda's with pizza.
I think that she has prided herself. I think she is most How do I say this?
I think
she has prided herself on the fact that she is a very good lay.
Yeah.